the Reverend Ron Ingermels, now Life Vice President of Norfolk YMCA, which I'm very pleased to be.
When did you become Life Vice President?
Oh, when I left Norwich in 1979.
You left in 1979?
Yeah.
And when did you begin with YMCA?
Well, full-time was 79 births, about 13 years. But I've got a memory now, I realised that my first encounter with YMCA was in Skegness, where I was brought up, because there was a holiday centre there. And although I knew the management, I knew the people there, I wasn't very involved. But in 1956, there was a crisis in Hungary. There was refugees coming from Hungary, and many of them went to the YMCA in Skegness to be housed to start with. And I always thought it was the generosity of the YMCA, their hospitality, which has always been a theme of YMCA. And I remember my mother was helping with refugees, and I was there with her as well. And so that was my very first encounter. Later, we returned to the Skegness YMCA for Association of Secretaries annual conferences. Mm. But now, of course, it's no more YMCA there.
So could you tell us about Skegness YMCA?
Well, it was an interesting place, and not up to standard as you'd expect now, but then, because it gave cheap holidays for people from the Midlands, young people and families, then it was very adequate. Nice playing area, and the Association of Secretaries always had an annual cricket match, North against the South, which we all enjoyed, because I loved cricket and sport in general.
So the Association of Secretaries, that was when you went back to Skegness?
When I was working for the YMCA. I came here to Norwich in 1964 as the Diocesan Youth Officer, and that inevitably brought me into contact with all the youth organisations in the county. And so I got probably a bit more involved with the YMCA Norwich than any other youth organisation.
What was YMCA Norwich doing at that time?
Well, they had accommodation, they had a sports hall, and many YMCAs had sports halls in those days before the commercial fitness centres came on, and that was pretty busy place. They also had, in the summertime, holiday camps for children and young people. And I know my own children went there, and it was at Swannington in the rural area of Norfolk. It was really appreciated by many people during the summer holiday season. And so they specialised in that, and it went on for many years. After that place, it went to another one on the coast and became part of a Norwich scene.
And your involvement as a diocesan youth officer with Norwich YMCA?
Yeah, I joined the youth committee and chaired the youth committee for some time. And we were involved with the planning and youth programmes, summer programmes, and all the general ones as well, sports activities. And so I got quite involved. And for some reason, and I can't remember exactly why, I also began to be involved with the National Council, as it was then, in their annual assemblies, and organising with a colleague from Suffolk the YMCA Assembly main act of worship, which was always a big event on the Sunday morning. And I think I can say I changed it a little bit, because I wanted to bring in new ideas and thoughts. And so that brought me more into contact with the national scene, and eventually, I was invited to apply for the job of Christian Education Officer, because the National Council at that time was really thinking a lot of the YMCAs are very good social centres, they do a tremendous work, but they've perhaps forgotten their Christian heritage and how they display their Christian work. So that became my main job. I've been involved in a lot of training of youth workers and part-time youth workers in Norfolk, and so that also was a bit of experience I was able to bring in to the YMCA.
So you mentioned the act of worship and what it used to be, and then these new ideas that you brought in. Could you tell us a little bit about that assembly and that experience? What happened there?
Well, it became so much part of the YMCA that I've almost forgotten what we did, but certainly became less formal, more energetic perhaps, and involving a lot of young people in the act of worship, which is, you know, very important.
And your role as Christian Education Officer, was that across the United Kingdom, across England?
That was at first in the four countries, and then later they separated, but I still had contacts. I remember one exciting visit and quite an impact on me was in Northern Ireland, because it was in the days of the Troubles, and I went to meet up with the secretaries in Northern Ireland and visit YMCAs, and was really an eye-opener about the division between Catholic and Protestant. We also at that time went to Corrymeela, which is a centre which brought together young people from both sides. It did a marvellous work, and there were some interesting encounters in those places, and young people met each other as young people for the first time there very often, because the schools were segregated, and they really made a difference to each other, because they saw, and they became friends very often. The rest of Ireland, I was quite astonished by the memories of history that hang on in that part of the world. Scotland as well. I had many visits to Scotland and Wales. But most of the work was really thinking through how the Christian emphasis in the YMCA could happen without being overwhelming and totally evangelical, because I always felt that doing the work itself, the work for young people, for the poor, for those in trouble, for the disadvantaged, and working with young people generally, was the Christian work. But sometimes you need to make it a bit more explicit. And so part of my job was to look at the YMCAs, look at the buildings, to see if there's any indication at all of the Christian emphasis, of the Christian background, of why it started and where it started, and the church's involvement. Sometimes I try to encourage them to link up with local churches, because occasionally there was no link at all with local churches. I don't know if I was successful or not, but at least I tried.
How well was it your role received?
Well, I think, yeah, everyone was very kind and very understanding of what I was trying to do. And I made a lot of friends in the process. It meant a lot of travelling, and a reception generally was really good, as people tried, because they knew, anyway, the professionals in the YMCA knew the background, knew what they should be doing, but sometimes needed some encouragement and some ways of looking at it. For example, once or twice I suggested they should have a quiet area where people could go and relax, pray or read, and sometimes interfaith, because we were dealing with people of faiths other than Christian, and so therefore it seemed to me that we had a responsibility to provide for their needs as well as the Christians or the non-Christians there.
Do you remember anywhere where that was really adopted and taken on board?
I don't remember specific ones, no. The other thing I tried to do was to get a sense of unity of praying, because we didn't have, when I started, any prayer calendar. So I began a calendar which went out to all YMCAs, whether they used it or not. They had it in front of them that on a certain day in the month, that month, then the YMCA, all others would be praying for that YMCA. And at the National Council, at the staff meetings on Mondays, we used to use that and pray for Birkenhead or Liverpool or wherever, Manchester, whichever was on the list. And I felt, although it wasn't a terribly exciting thing to do, it was worthwhile. And the sense of unity in the YMCA was always important.
You mentioned about YMCA's beginnings and how you felt it was important that, you know, how it began and the ethos behind it continued on. What was it specifically that you were hoping would continue and develop?
Well, you can't, in my view, have a YMCA without a recognition of the background, that it was Christians who started the YMCA in 1844, that since then, generally, it's been Christians who have given the impetus to YMCA work. And so my job was to try and encourage people to recognise that and somehow display it, without being ostentatious or without being putting people off, but to have it there and be willing to talk about the Christian faith. So again, I say, whether you're successful or not, I don't know. But during those years, I also had quite a lot of international experiences which have impacted on me a lot. For example, I was on the planning committee for a big international event in Austria in, I think, in 76 or something like that. I met up with all the other people from the European YMCAs, and it was a marvellous event. And two coachloads came from UK, and the main two interesting things happened there. One was that the main keynote speaker was a Norwegian, and he was absolutely brilliant, giving the keynote address to 1,000 young people every morning. But on the Wednesday, he came to me and he said, "I really need to go back to Norway. Will you take on the next two keynote addresses?" And I sank back and I had to say yes, and it was a privilege to do it, but I started from nothing. I had no resources there. At least you, even if you don't use your books or your library, you like to have them there and think about it. So I was up most of the night on the Wednesday night and gave the address on the Thursday and Friday. It wasn't of a quality, I must say, of his, because he was brilliant. But we managed.
Do you remember what you talked about?
The other important thing there was that I met a Palestinian group for the first time. I had been unawares, really, of the stories of the Palestinian people. And I was quite ashamed in many ways. But they were a dynamic, youthful, happy group of young people who were dancing and singing late at night, and I got to know them fairly well. And that started me on a whole new path of interest and concern for the Palestinian people. And so after that, I took one or two or three groups of YMCA secretaries, professional workers, to Israel-Palestine for them to meet with the Palestinian YMCA and to get to know the struggles that they were having. Having heard the stories of 1947 and their families, and how the families had left their homes but kept the key, hopefully to return one day to their place. And the YMCA secretaries came with me, and we had a very special time when we went to Beit Sahur, which John Drake will often talk about, because when we got there to meet with the YMCA secretaries and the YMCA people there, there was a barricade across the road, and the army, Israeli army, said, it's been declared a military zone, and so you can't come. And I said, well, I want to meet your commanding officer. Well, this commanding officer came, and she was really beautiful and very, very friendly. And she said no at first, but eventually, after discussion with other, they let us in. And so we were an unusual group to be in there on that particular day and time. The other experience I had was in a Roman Catholic church in Beit Sahur. We were having a celebration of communion, and suddenly there was some applause at the back of the church, and we wondered what it was. And it rippled through the church in the middle of a service. And it was the Mufti of Jerusalem, the the key person from the Muslim community coming into the YMCA, into the church, and standing at the front of the church and saying, this is a house of God. And everyone was just astonished. And then he went on to say how we need, as Palestinians, to work together for the future. But I fear that many, many groups have been there, many delegations. I also went on a delegation with the what was then the British Council of Churches, church leaders. Most of them hadn't been there before. And I remember them saying at breakfast in Jerusalem the first day, we must try and be even-handed. And then we looked out through a window, and the Israeli army just fired tear gas into a school girl's playground. We could see no reason. And that changed the balance a little bit, but we went on to meet with people, and we went to Gaza and saw the awful conditions in Gaza. And these were leaders of the URC church, Anglican bishop, Methodist leader of a church, and I was very privileged to join them. But it was not my first visit, and I sensed that if they really dug deep, then they would see the Palestinian suffering. And when we got back, I was asked to present the report to the British Council of Churches Assembly. I did that and had some flack and some real criticism from the Israeli people, the Friends of Israel and people like that, because it was not biased but honest, and therefore was veered towards the Palestinian people who were suffering. So that was a major thing, all from that youth event that took me right through into the Palestinian situation, and I still have contact with the people in Jerusalem.
And what was it about the YMCA's work in Palestine that really attracted you?
Well, the two big YMCAs in Jerusalem, One of them had very clear interfaith work. Young people of the Arab, the Jewish and the Christian people. And I thought that was very splendid that they did this. The other YMCA in East Jerusalem did a lot of work with the young people in Jerusalem, but also in Beit Zohar, where they had a very good centre for training, for post-traumatic stress. I don't think it was called that then, but the children who had seen awful things, and the young people who had seen their families suffer, and sometimes they were very disturbed, and they did a lot of work with them. Also in Jericho, they did a lot of training, and there was a major centre, I'm not sure if it's still going, but a major centre which was training Palestinian people in car mechanics, in practical work, in architecture, in all the trades, because many couldn't get work. So that was all a big impact on me.
So, taking it back to your involvement with YMCA Norfolk, you first got involved as Darcy Youth Officer, you then worked with YMCA England as the Christian Training Officer. How did you find yourself back in this area and YMCA Norfolk again, or was that?
Oh, well, that's it goes around a long way.
Well, let's go.
As I... When the work finished in the YMCA, and I think it was 92, my work finished, my role finished.
Role was the Christian Training Officer's role still? Yes.
Yeah. And then at the same time as I'd had that role, full-time work in the YMCA, because I needed accommodation, I'd been to the Bishop of St. Albans, and it was Robert Runcie then who became Archbishop, and they found a very small parish near Welling Garden City and said, well, if I would just look after that, there was a house available. So at weekends, not only did I have some weekends away with training courses for YMCA, I also had a small parish, and whenever I could be there, I was taking services on the Sunday, weddings and funerals. Because my work in YMCA was fairly flexible, I could work later or earlier, get back for these. And on Saturdays, unless I was at a training course or a big meeting of YMCA, almost inevitably I had a wedding or visiting. And so I've tried to keep always my link with the Anglican Church, because I felt I was ordained to be a priest, and I didn't want to lose that, though I couldn't wish for a better career and life than working with young people in the YMCA and my contact there. Now, so when it finished in the job finished in 92, I had a decision to make of whether I was going to continue with the parish or not. And I trained as a school inspector for church schools. I did lots of different work, some consultation work with the YMCA. For example, there was an interest or concern about the Bangladeshi community in East London, and wondered what could be done by the YMCA in that area. So I was commissioned to write a report and lots of visits to that part of the world. And one or two other jobs with the YMCA, although I wasn't working for them. And then after that, I retired from the parish, went up to live in Buckden near Huntingdon, no YMCA contact there. But I kept in touch with the YMCA in Hertfordshire. I was on the committee there for a long time, and also Watford and St Albans. And then my wife died while I was at Buckden, and I had always decided to come back to Norfolk sometime, because I love Norwich, and I'm a Norwich City supporter, and I wanted to be back here. So I decided to come back, but at the same time I made contact with a friend of mine who was, her husband had died, and although I was 80-something, we got married 3 years ago. So that was really special, and so we're together now, both season ticket holders at Norwich City, enjoying last year and suffering this year, but it's still good fun.
So what year were you ordained?
When?
Oh yes.
I was ordained in Ripon Cathedral in 1957.
So you were ordained prior to getting involved with YMCA?
Oh yes, yeah. Yes. I was a curate in Leeds, and in those days, I don't know if it's still the same, but the raw young curate going into a housing estate of which was fairly poor in Leeds, we were always given the youth work to do, and it was a shock because although we'd been at university and we'd been at theological college and had some experience of teaching and youth work, but not hands-on, and so straight into youth work there, which was pretty tough. But I think it was probably the best start you could wish for. Instead of being in a leafy suburb, I really, the people were great. One of them, the young people, said to me once, they said, how much does they earn? And I said, well, about 315 a month. A year, sorry, £315. He says, that was in a dead-end job. So,
you can see what's happened.
Yeah.
So your life presidency with YMCA Norfolk, how did that come about?
Well, they're very kind and generous, because I left Norwich and went off to the National Council, and I don't know what stage they decided to do that. But it kept my link with Norfolk and Norwich, and I was on the committee which appointed John Drake when he came here. And then when he came, as he often says to me, as soon as I came, you left. But that was coincidental. The other thing I remember especially about YMCA in those days was that we had the centre at Dunford. Dunford was an absolutely beautiful place in Sussex, and a lot of work, of YMCA work, had gone on there over the years. And Edwin Robertson, who was a wonderful Baptist minister, a scholar, and wrote books about Dietrich Bonhoeffer and translated German, spoke German fluently. He was also involved with the YMCA, and I admired him a lot and learnt a lot from him. And he was especially concerned that Dunford should continue as a centre for learning and ecumenical work. So Dunford was quite important in those days, and I met a number of people there, and we once did a Bible study for a whole week and published it. It wasn't, I say, a great success, but we, with a bishop from Finland, who I met in the YMCA Games in Sweden, because I was chaplain to the YMCA Games in Sweden 1 year, and met him and decided we'd try and do a special approach to a Bible study, interactive, and get stories that matched in with the Bible, and publish it. And yeah, that was a good week in itself, irrespective of whether the book sold well or not. The other small publication which I was responsible for was a small pamphlet, really, called Circles of Experience, trying to look at the spirituality and how every experience in life can be a point of moving in a spiritual direction. Not just special Christian events, but every experience, that if you reflect on them and work on them, they can teach us something. And I was very involved for many years with the British Council of Churches Youth Unit. I was chair of the youth unit of BCC, and we did quite a bit on spirituality and young people.
You mentioned the YMCA Games. Could you tell us a little bit about that and your involvement in the Games?
Yes, I was really there as chaplain and leader of worship, because worship took place every day. And the Games were competitive, but not over-competitive. all games are competitive if they're any use. And
did they take place on a regular basis? Did people come from across the world, or was it just...
No, these were European YMCA Games. And most of the games, various games, were played there. It was a good event. Again, I think, from my point of view, it was the people I met there. And it's always been, throughout my life with the YMCA, different people I've met. And I just mentioned a few minutes ago about the British Council of Churches. I felt very strongly that the YMCA, being an ecumenical movement, and very involved in a major conference in 1910 in Edinburgh, which in some ways kicked off the ecumenical movement again. John R. Mott, one of the famous people in YMCA, was there and very involved with it, taking a key leadership role. I felt that the YMCA has lost its connection with the national churches. And although it's called now Churches Together, it was then the British Council of Churches. So I, with my friend from Scotland, both decided we ought to be, if possible, at those meetings, at the assemblies every year. And I also was on the International Committee and the Youth Committee. So I spent perhaps, not too much, but a lot of time with the church leaders and church people, because I felt we needed to be at the centre of it rather than on the periphery. And for the churches to see, YMCA was concerned about that side of things.
So from your time beginning with YMCA to YMCA now, how do you think things have changed?
Well, I'm full of admiration for what goes on in Norwich and Norfolk. I think it's become more professional and wider. Care for the mentally disturbed, and at each point it seems to me that there are more people coming in who are professional in their own field. Not necessarily in youth work, but in other aspects of the work that YMCA involved with. So, and I don't know so much about all the other YMCAs in England now, but I know this one in Norwich and Norfolk have got a vision of the Christian dimension and putting it into practice through care and love. And each year they have a presentation. It's an annual meeting, which is very formal, but then a presentation by young people of how the YMCA has changed their lives. And it's a wonderful event. I just think it's so good that it's not just a presentation by the professional people, but by young people. And sometimes they can hardly say what's happened to them because they're not used to public speaking. There's a big hall, lots of people there, and their stories are sometimes awful, but a really wonderful way the YMCA has helped them and encouraged them, both in accommodation providing, in care, in counselling, in finding work, in all the areas that they were lacking. So I just think it's a wonderful way of doing it and letting people hear about the YMCA work.
What would be your hopes for YMCA going into the future?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm perhaps too old to tell them what I hope for, but I hope this work continues, a work of caring and love for young people, and in a very practical way, because it's all very well talking about it and just saying things, but I think YMCA demonstrates, both in this country and worldwide, how it's involved in with the poor of the world, with the disadvantaged. And I keep in touch through the European YMCA with a little bit of what's going on. Because I haven't said that when I finished with the YMCA nationally, I was, after about 3 months, the European YMCA asked me if I would be a consultant to Romania. And so the revolution had taken place with Ceausescu, etc., in 89, and the YMCA had been proscribed, not allowed at all during communist times, and even were in difficulties before the communists came. So there was a desire to restart the YMCA in Romania. I mean, I put this as a high priority in my experience, because I went out 24 times to Romania, generally for 2 or 3 weeks. I organised training courses nationally for young people to learn something about the YMCA, but also about how to manage organisations, because most people had no experience of a democratic way of organising things, and so setting up management groups, setting up a group in a village or in a city to start a YMCA was not easy. There were some YMCA people who were at that stage very old, who could remember the YMCA originally. They had a big national centre which took ages to get back from the government because but legally it was not thought to be YMCA, but eventually got it back and became a very good central place. So I visited, well, from south to north and east to west, to YMCAs to get them started. Again, how successful, I'm never sure, but I know that it's going well now. The other interesting thing was that there were two YMCAs in Romania. There was one the Romanian YMCA and one the Hungarian-speaking YMCA, because in 1917, part of Romania, part of Hungary had been taken over by Romania. And so that part, and there was no meeting between them. And the Hungarian people generally in Romania felt very second class. And perhaps one of the things which I was reasonably successful at was bringing the Hungarian-speaking YMCA and the Romanian YMCA together and meeting together and sharing things together. Whether it's continued, I'm not sure, because they were very different approaches, different backgrounds, different links with the churches. The Romanian was Orthodox and the Hungarian was a Reformed church. So there was that problem as well. one of the things in Romania was that the YMCA was under some suspicion of being linked with the Masonic things because of a triangle. And it was really strange. And there was some awful leaflet I found in churches about the YMCA. So I did have some meetings with the Archbishop of the Orthodox Church about this. And I think in the end they recognised that we were a Christian organisation, no links with Masonic world. And I remember once there was a service going on and the Archbishop of Romania looked across at me and invited me to come forward to share in the breaking of the bread at communion, which I was very moved by. I was very fortunate in having a superb translator for my work in Romania, and we've kept in touch since. She now lives in Paris and we've met together since then, but Susanna was brilliant. She could interpret an Orthodox sermon for 20 minutes instantaneously. So as a just sitting and standing next to me, she could interpret it. So that helped very much that she was able to do that and involved with the YMCA. Having met various clergy from the ministers from the Hungarian speaking, I set up a link with my little parish and a small parish in Romania. And I took one or two people out there and we kept in touch. But more than that, we provided a lot of things for that small village. They wanted cycles so children could get to the secondary school. They didn't have anywhere as a place of rest for people who had died before burial and in the hot weather. So we did that. We helped with the foundation of a bakery for the village. So we were involved with lots of projects. So I raised money. It's one of my things I've been doing all my life, I think, raising money in England with my small parish. And they were all very enthusiastic. And then we were able to help this village. And again, I keep in touch with one of the pastors, now working in Hungary, but then in Romania.